You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm your host, James Edwards. You are now tuned in to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. The date is Saturday, June 21st, as I broadcast to you live tonight from our flagship radio station here in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM/FM affiliates, as always, of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online, where we are a global phenomenon at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I am in a nostalgic mood this evening. Tomorrow, friends, is my birthday. I'll be 34 years old in the morning, and you know, I've always considered those of you in my listening audience to be members of my extended family. We talk about that all the time, so it's only natural that we share with you our special occasions, and whenever a holiday or an anniversary or a birthday comes up, we like to talk about it because it gives us time to pause and reflect on what we've accomplished in life or throughout the course of the last year in this case, while remembering those who are important to us. And birthdays, of course, also remind us how quickly the hands of time can spin. It seems like it was just yesterday. And folks, I have vivid memories of the very first broadcast that I hosted of the Political Cesspool. I remember it fondly and clearly, but it wasn't yesterday. You know, nearly 10 years have passed since that fateful night, and it's been a hell of a ride. Time sure does fly, but I just want you to know, on this, the eve of my 34th birthday, I was 24 years old when I started this show. God, where has that time gone? But it's just been great. It's an honor. It is an honor to come here every week and do the work that most Americans refuse to do, and that's tell the truth about controversial, well, subjects that shouldn't be controversial, but unfortunately are, because the gatekeepers of our media have deemed them so, but they're not controversial. What's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong, and we will stand for truth and our people and Christ and all of those things that make this show what it is. But I am thankful to have the support and love of so many wonderful people. It's the greatest gift that anyone could have, and I truly mean that, folks, and it's exciting to be here for another year. Hopefully we'll be here for many, many more years, because we sure do have a good thing going here, and as you know, we're entering in, I don't want a birthday present, let me be clear on that, but I wouldn't mind if you contributed to the work, to our radio program. When I say our radio program, I include you in that, ladies and gentlemen, in our listening audience. We're entering into the final few days of our crucial second quarter fundraising drive. As always, we're scratching and clawing to bring enough in to reach the very modest operating budget that sustains our talk show. As of today, I can't say whether or not we'll hit the mark. I'm hopeful that we will. To come up short wouldn't be good, which is why I humbly ask you to stand with us, make a contribution today if you haven't already done so this month, so that we can continue to serve on your behalf in the mainstream media. Just here in the last commercial break, we received a $10 donation from Winter Springs, Florida. And believe it, folks, all of that helps. I am thankful for the $10 donations. I'm thankful for the $100 donations. I'm thankful for whatever you can comfortably afford to give, because it helps keep us going. A $100 donation really goes a long way to keeping our show on the air for the next quarter, for the next 2 or 3 months. $100 wouldn't cover Rush Limbaugh's lunch, literally. But it goes a long way into keeping this show where it needs to be, which is out on the front lines in the court of public opinion. So we hope that we can continue to count on you to help keep the voice for European-American paleo-conservatives on the air. You know, what Limbaugh makes, and who knows what Limbaugh makes? Millions of dollars. You know, millions of dollars. You know, that could run this network for the rest of our lives. But we're not counting out on a donation that well, but we'll take what we can get, and God bless you for it. Of course, everything that we receive, and I want to be clear about this too, you're not just helping keep this show on the air. 10% goes back to the network, to Liberty News Radio. So you're not just helping us, you're helping other people that are in this cause together. Received a donation just before the show started from Loves Park, Illinois. I always get a big kick out of where our listeners come from and the cities and states for, in which they reside, or the countries for that matter. And they are everywhere, folks. Your neighbor could be a political cesspool listener, and you just don't know it yet. Of course, our incentives this month, if you donate $100 or more before June 30th, month's almost over, you're going to receive an autographed copy of a powerful, yet-to-be-released book by one of our favorite authors. You're also going to receive a music CD called Good Versus Evil that was written, arranged, performed by a political cesspool fan who lives right here in Memphis. It's great stuff. We actually featured one of his songs during Confederate History Month in April. 9 original songs, all arranged and performed by a TPC fan. You'll get the Occidental Quarterly, a scholarly journal dedicated to our issues. So it's a great prize pack, a gift pack. We always want to say thank you, and we mean it. Certainly got a good thing going here. Hey, by the way, folks, have you watched that video yet at thepoliticalcesspool.org starring Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who's going to be in here in a few minutes? Really eye-opening. I hope you'll take the chance to do it and pass that along. It's up on YouTube in addition to being on our site. We hope you'll take a look. I want to read something now about reparations. I don't have time to really get into another deep issue. I mean, this is a deep issue, but this is a quick hit on a deep issue. Written by Jared Taylor of American Renaissance, reparations is something they will attempt to saddle you with from time to time. And Jared just wrote an excellent response to the question of reparations as it was brought up again in, I believe it was The Atlantic magazine, a very left-leaning publication. The idea of reparations, Jared writes, has a hypnotic effect on blacks. Not only does it console them with the idea that black failure is someone else's fault, it comes with the intoxicating fantasy that money will just drop out of the sky. The latest version of this fantasy comes from The Atlantic magazine's article, The Case for Reparations. There are simple, devastating arguments against reparations for slavery. First, it was practiced by individuals, not the government, yet the government is supposed to tax us to pay for it. Of course, there is no legitimate or moral or legal theory that requires today's whites to pay for something that only a handful of whites did over 150 years ago. Only one household in five in the Confederacy owned slaves, and even if it were possible to track down current descendants, there is no legal theory under which they should pay for anything either. You could even take it this far. My grandfather may have murdered your grandfather, but you have no claim on me. You can go shout at my grandfather's gravestone if you like, but I owe you nothing. Some people claim it was slavery that made the United States rich, so reparations would just share the wealth. But this is utter foolishness. Slaves were manpower directed by whites, and were hardly a miracle of productivity. Many abolitionists argued that slave labor was grossly inefficient and that blacks would be more productive if they were put to work at prevailing wages. Indeed, the South, where slavery was practiced longest and which had the largest black population, was always poorer than the North. Jared comes to a conclusion, and I'll read it for you right after this.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free. F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character. Where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Well, folks, I may have told you a slight fib. I told you I was going to finish reading a couple of concluding paragraphs from Jared Taylor's article response to reparations, but I have deleted it from my email during the commercial break trying to get rid of some spam. Let me see if I can find it here. Again, you know, we like these instances in which we can prove we are live radio. I'll have to pull it up from the blog itself. Oh, here it is. I actually got it here, so I saved myself. Jared just writes this. I guess you have already gotten the general gist of it. And I hate reading something so short and it'd be broken up by the commercial break because it loses its momentum, and now we have to recycle a bit. But Jared was answering a writer for Atlantic Magazine who once again presents the case that blacks deserve reparations, and Jared answered that in a way that really only Jared can. But there's more to it than this, but these were the last two paragraphs I wanted to read in this particular segment. Great points, common sense points, points that you will never, ever, ever, ever see uttered on establishment television or radio because they just make too much darn sense. But Jared points out that African blacks practiced slavery for centuries before Americans did, and it was Africans who sold slaves to whites. There's hardly a single known case of whites capturing and enslaving a black. If the Atlantic Magazine wants to blame someone for slavery, they can start with Africans. And finally, if they want to figure the cost of slavery and of the 150 years of agony since then, take a look at Africa. Blacks call themselves African Americans, but precious few want the squalor, violence, corruption, and disease of their mother continent. They are much better off right where they are, racism and all, and they know it. I mean, what can you say to that? I mean, it completely destroys these fools that are trying desperately to continue to batter whites with this phenomenon of white guilt. But, you know, the truth will just shatter. Yeah, you ever seen the scene in one of the Lord of the Rings movies where Gandalf comes up and he shines this light and it just knocks all the orcs on their backs? I mean, this is what truth does to people like this, these dishonest fools. And I'm being polite and calling them just that. Speaking of fools, you probably know by now that political correctness continues to bombard the Washington Redskins and their owner, Dan Snyder. who defiantly refuses to change the term because he doesn't want to bend a knee to political correctness. And why should he? Again, these people are too stupid to understand that when you name something after an Indian, it is a sign of respect. If you name your team after something tied to American Indian way of life, that's an honor. When we vanquished and conquered the Indians, we named our cities after them, our states, our bridges, our rivers. The Apache helicopter. Is the Apache helicopter named that because we're mocking the Apaches? No, it's because we had so much reverence for the way they fought. But again, you know, truth has no place in discussions of issues like this. But now the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office has canceled federal trademarks of the Washington Redskins, claiming that it was disparaging to Indians. Now, what can you say? So now anybody can go out and print up the Washington Redskins logo and sell it, and the Redskins franchise presumably would have no recourse against them, all because of political correctness. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office unilaterally just and preemptively canceled the trademark of the Redskins. Meanwhile, it's okay if the sodomites trademark the rainbow, God's promise that he wouldn't destroy the world by a flood. They can trademark that. That can be used, but you can't have the Redskins. And there was a great article written by Gregory Hood that we need to rename Washington. Not the Redskins part, mind you. The city of Washington, D.C. should be renamed. This is what he has to say. The opinions of unelected bureaucrats on what is offensive and what isn't override property rights and trademarks. What passes for law is going to get only worse. Small business owners in this country are sentenced to mandatory anti-discrimination training if they dissent from the ideology of egalitarianism by refusing to bake a cake for a homosexual marriage. Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor is already arguing that whites do not have the right to vote against anti-white racial preferences. And this is only the beginning. Egalitarianism, especially racial egalitarianism, is the governing ideology of our entire system. It's something far more important and salient to how we are governed than limited government, the English political tradition, or the Constitution of the United States. And Gregory Hood is absolutely right about that. Radical egalitarianism carries more weight, more legal precedent than the Constitution of this country itself. It's striking how irrelevant the topics discussed by the Founding Fathers are to the issues that face us today. Questions such as states' rights, the power of the federal government, have been utterly swept aside. Today, the federal government is actively involved in the lives of every single citizen, and insofar as there is opposition, it is mostly focused on securing so-called rights to explore new varieties of substance abuse and sexual deviance. The taxation of George III would seem almost utopian by today's standards, and even the colonial subjects of 1775 America had more control over how they were governed than the voting citizens of our proud democracy. Instead, what governs us today is multiculturalism. Every single white person who lives in this country, no matter how rich, powerful, or well-connected, can be destroyed, think of Paula Deen, for racial thought crime. The lie of white privilege conceals the reality that no powerful white person uses his power in defense of his own people, or else he wouldn't remain powerful for long. The result is a country united only by hypocrisy, as white Americans of all classes build their entire lives around the necessity of avoiding vast numbers of their fellow citizens, and desperately try to remain unnoticed by volunteer commissars eager to enforce their totalitarian creed. Now, what does such a nation have to do with the vision of George Washington? He was the one irreplaceable man during the struggle for American independence, the president who united all factions during the dangerous years of the early republic, and the statesman who set the precedent of voluntarily relinquishing power that spared America the fates of revolutionary France and the Latin American republic. What greater dishonor can we give him for associating him with a gaggle of plutocrats, criminals, and traitors who presume to rule us? What greater proof can we show of the ultimate failure of the American Revolution than how we have turned his name into the epithet on the lips of millions of Americans? One of the great causes for George Washington's backing of the American Revolution was his support of Western expansion, which was checked by the British government. He waged effective war against Indian tribes that threatened white settlers. Though a Freemason and an opponent of monarchy, he defended social distinctions and the rule of law. He opposed abolition. He was a nationalist. He was a patriot. What does such a man have to do with this crumbling third world embarrassment that passes for a country? Besides, it's only a matter of time before America's capital is renamed anyway. No amount of public opinion, established tradition, or indisputable legacy seems to stand in the way of the slow retreat of the United States from Western civilization. The emerging majority in this country had no part in the accomplishments of the historic American nation, and they exist only to plunder our remnants. Why wait for their inevitable cries that a majority non-white America can't relate to a capital named after George Washington? They can't! No matter what kind of citizenship they are given, they aren't Americans in any traditional sense. George Washington once said, "Let us raise a standard to which the wise and honest can repair." The government in that city that bears his name has failed the test of the father of our country. These newcomers cannot identify with him, nor do they want to. Let's honor the memory of George Washington. Let's rename the Capitol. He deserves better. Hell of an article. Hell of an article. We're going to take a break.
Claiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin MacDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Folks, I got to salute you again. Taking a quick time out to do this, I mentioned a couple of the cities that had stood with us earlier in this hour with a show of support. Handful of contributions came in during that last segment, and as I was checking my email during the commercial break, I just want to acknowledge the contributors from the following cities who, within a span of 5 minutes, had ridden to the sound of the guns, as Keith said during the first hour. You know, folks, I really mean it when I say that we love you, and I love you, and let's let everything that we do come from a righteous position. Let's let love be the emotion that steers us in our activism. And I believe that everything that we're doing here, when we tackle these issues, we tell the truth in love, and just the familial bond that we share, I think you can feel that through the radio airwaves. At least I can. And we're out here fighting for you, and you're standing with us. And, you know, when you face such seemingly bleak odds, and you come together as a brand of brothers and sisters, because we do have a large female listening audience, you just feel so connected, spiritually even, with those people. And I certainly want to say hello to a good friend of ours in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, who made a contribution in the last few minutes. Also to Earl in Chicago, Illinois. Earl, Chicago, standing with us. A gentleman who earlier in the show from Winter Springs, Florida, donated down there by Orlando, in between Orlando and Tampa, if memory serves. Donated again, so twice from Winter Springs. And then a dear woman who shares the name of my mother, Susan, in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. She's a lady who I believe donates every month. And those four people donated within the last commercial break. And I tell you, we moved the needle fairly significantly, such as it is, in the last break, to helping us reach our operating budget for the second quarter of 2014. Let's keep it up for the rest of the month, and I guarantee you we'll break it. We've come a long way since the show started. Thank you, folks. And again, some of that will go to the network. It all helps keep the show on the air, whether it goes into the political cesspool's coffers or that of Liberty News Radio. It's a hand-in-glove relationship. It's a symbiotic relationship. And folks, we're making a difference. You know, if I didn't believe that we were, I wouldn't ask. And you know that. And if I were a rich man, I wouldn't ask. I would fund it out of pocket and never ask you, nor would I accept a dime. But God bless me with a lot of talents, but deep financial resources wasn't one of them. But I made a contribution to this to the show this month, too. Last week, or earlier this week, rather, I sent in my monthly contribution. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I will never, ever, ever ask you to do something that I am not willing to do or have done myself. I ask you to contribute to the show. I contribute to this show. I take money out of my paycheck and give it to the show. Unfortunately, tithing, if you want to call it that, I don't want to be blasphemous here, but it's a much better investment to contribute to a show like this, yes, a Christian show, than even going to some of these churches. And I hate to say that, I really do. The Presbyterian Church has embraced homosexual marriage, so-called homosexual marriage. In the United States, we've got to remember this, as Hunter Wallace writes for Occidental Dissent, and Hunter was on our show, I guess, earlier in the month, maybe late May, a few weeks ago. In the United States, it's important to understand that what is called Christianity now, or what passes for Christianity in a lot of these churches, has long been nothing more than Americanism dressed up with a cross and a Jesus mascot. Christianity, quote-unquote, is always getting a new facelift to correspond with the latest fads in America's dominant secular popular culture. And here's the story. The top legislative body of the Presbyterian Church USA has voted by large margins to recognize same-sex marriage as Christian in the church constitution, adding language that marriage can be the union of two people, not just a man and a woman. By a wide margin, a so-called Christian church voted in that language, opening up their ministers to perform same-sex marriages. The Presbyterian Church is pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, pro-illegal alien. As early as 1999, the Presbyterian Church announced it was committed to, quote, spiritually confronting the idolatry and ideology of white privilege. So they're pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, pro-illegal immigration, and anti-white. So that is the Presbyterian Church USA as it stands in 2014. And folks, as a Christian and as a white man, that's infuriating. I would never attend that church. It is no longer a Christian church. There are some passages in the Bible that can be open to some level of interpretation. But homosexuality is so clearly forbidden in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New, from Leviticus to Romans and points in between and beyond. There is no doubt it is so clearly stated and so demonstrably stated. I can't understand for the life of me how you could, I mean, obviously this isn't a Christian church anymore, but how they could even pretend to be a Christian church. Just say you're a social club now. But to sully the name of Christ and to sully the religion of the one true God, to sully Christianity by embracing something that is forbidden by Christ is jaw-dropping. If you want to do that, fine, but don't pretend to be a church, not a Christian church anyway. But just like the federal government, they pick and choose, the federal government picks and chooses which laws they're going to enforce based upon political correctness. Now churches are picking and choosing which elements of Scripture, of God's holy word, they're going to preach based upon political correctness. This is the new state religion. This just goes to show how much more political correctness is the official state religion of the United States and how Christianity is not, because Christianity is taking its marching orders from political correctness. Rather than the Christian church going out and transforming the world is transforming the church. But do not let that, folks, let me encourage you to not let this diminish the standing of Christ in your hearts and in your lives. The Bible is what we take our orders from, not the church. Just like it would be great to live in a country where a nation and a country are synonymous, it would be nice to go to a church where Christianity and that church's interpretation of Scripture is one and the same, but there's a difference, obviously, now between Christianity and what is being preached in churches. So don't let this diminish the standing of Christianity as far as you see it, folks, but this is this is just sick. It's sick, and you see it, too, with the embrace that a lot of fundamentalist denominations give to illegal aliens now. Now, I'm not necessarily saying, there is a difference, I guess. You could be foolish enough to think illegal immigration, third world immigration, enriches your country, and that not necessarily be a sin to advocate for that. That's a political point. But homosexuality is a religious point. It's a point of spiritual doctrine. But anyway, listen, you know, for my money, one of the greatest websites that talks about matters of faith from our political perspective is faithandheritage.com. And if you go to faithandheritage.com, as I am typing it into my browser as I speak, yes, I can type and talk at once. We had Nathaniel Strickland on, the editor of Faith and Heritage, I guess it was week before last. They've got some great articles there that brings together our faith and our politics, and just there in their list of must-read articles, you'll find A Biblical Defense of Ethno-Nationalism and other topics that I think would be of interest to you. Faithandheritage.com. Go there instead of going to a Presbyterian church if you're of the Presbyterian denomination, or just go to truthtellers.org, Reverend Ted Pike's website. There is still legitimate Christianity out there, folks. You just might not find it at a church near you anymore. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Today is an important day. It's your day to be ready, take care of your family, and buy your emergency food supply from the Freeze Dry Guy. Because today, the Freeze Dry Guy introduces our Mountain House and Packaway 1-month food supply. Today, get the Freeze Dry Guy's 30-day premium unit, normally $364, sale priced at $263, save $101. Buy two cases, normally $727, sale priced at $506, save $222. Or choose three 30-day premium units, normally $1,091, now only $748, save $343. From the Freeze Dry Guy. These premium units are packed with the highest quality Mountain House entrees, meats, vegetables, and Packaway brand freeze dried pineapple and dehydrates, such as milk, ABC stew, and rolled oats, 289 half cup servings. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48. Hurry, our Mountain House and Packaway 1 month supply sale ends soon. So call now, 866-404-3663.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody. As I was delivering the commentary in that last segment, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who has just arrived at the radio station tonight, was tuned in on the AM dial as he was driving in and was listening to that, as I'm sure a great number of Memphians are here on our flagship station in our flagship city. One more quick hit on the homosexual issue. We were talking about how now the Presbyterian Church, the entire denomination or that body, I hesitate to call them a church anymore. In fact, I can't by, I can't call them a church anymore, but the Presbyterians, we'll just call them that, have said, you know, yeah, marriage can be between any two people, and our clergy will now marry homosexuals, quote unquote. It's so expressly forbidden in the Bible that is not even open to interpretation. We're not talking about, you know, some of the other scriptures that people misinterpret, and you can have a debate one way or the other, but this is just completely out of bounds. So now you have the federal government leading the way. And as I said, Eddie, in that segment, it's not the church changing the world anymore. The world is changing the church. And working hand in hand, the regime in Washington, the federal government, and the churches now attacking. The churches have now enlisted in this culture war against Christianity, as far as I'm concerned. And we have here in Alabama, a single judge in Alabama overruled the entire will of the people in that state, who overwhelmingly voted in constitutional amendment to ban this abomination, homosexual marriage. An appeals court judge has ruled that Alabama law criminalizing homosexual conduct is unconstitutional. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on and on. Eddie, I'll toss it over to you. I know before we get into immigration, which your video is going to be the focal point of our third hour, you wanted to talk about what's going on in the churches, what I was talking about in that last segment. I'll ask you, as a Southern Baptist, what's going on in your church? You can start and then answer that question in a minute.
Well, I'll tell you what, James, like you told the listeners, I've had a full day today. I've been over at Jonesboro, Arkansas. Seemed like it's just endless wedding month. But I told James that that was one of the best segments I've ever heard him do on the way over here. He was hitting on all cylinders and then some. He's absolutely right. The majority of the churches nowadays, they are enlisting their forces, joining forces with the Satan and the satanic government in Washington to attack Christianity. James was 100% right. In the entire history of the Bible, going all the way back to the Garden of Eden, going to Noah and his sons, going to Elijah, going all the way through the Judges, going to the New Testament, in the 6,000 years of the Old Testament and New Testament, homosexuality has been an abomination, and not just a sin, but an abomination in the eyes of God. And for many reasons, it's an attack. It's a direct attack on God. It's not just an attack on humans. It's an attack on God. Marriage. I just went to a wedding today. Marriage. I've heard preacher after preacher after preacher. I've read the Bible from front to back, just like James Edwards has. James was a Christian before I was. He's had a lot more training than me. But marriage is the most sacred, most holy act in the entire Bible. What it does, see people, marriage is a copy. It's kind of like an earthly, a copy of the church, of what Jesus did. What Jesus did for the world, Jesus gave his life so that people could be saved. That's the only way. The only way to get to heaven is through Jesus. I don't care what anybody says. You know, the only way to get to the Father is through the Son. Jesus took the people, us humans, as his bride. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. It's a sacred. See, when man takes a wife in marriage, he commits his life, his honor, he vows to protect that woman, even if it means his whole life. He vows to support her. The man is supposed to be the spiritual leader in the house, just like Jesus Christ is the spiritual leader between God and, you know, between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But James is absolutely right. You see, the devil is trying to mimic that, and I'm telling you, It's not by accident. The churches, we could, you know what, we could do about four or five shows on this and the way the churches have been infiltrated by the Brotherhood of Darkness, so to speak. But they have been infiltrated. Just about all the seminaries are fighting right now to stay alive, to keep the sons of darkness, the Brotherhood of Darkness, out of the seminaries, coming here teaching all this satanic stuff, you know. I myself, James mentioned being a Southern Baptist, I'm struggling, really right now, struggling on whether to leave my church. And it's not just my church. I can't think of a single church in Memphis that's even better than mine. I've gone to what's supposed to be a fundamental Baptist church. So far, we're holding the line on this homosexuality thing. But my pastor is in his 70s. And I'll tell you flat out, when he goes, the man that's probably going to take command is softer. I'm not going to say he's pro-homosexual marriage, but he's softer than my pastor. I'm not going to mention my church. I slammed him enough. And don't want to get kicked out of there. If when I leave, you know, you'll all know it. But yeah, it's in all the churches, and it's held up. You know, the attitude of the church, even my church, a lot of the people is we have to be kind to these people. We have to be what's this word? Tolerant. You know, another word for tolerant. When I hear somebody tell me I have to be tolerant, that means you have to surrender your beliefs. You have to give up on your religion. You have to accommodate them. Tolerance means that if you disagree with what some people call liberal, if you disagree with them, that means you're using hate language. It's you're a hater. But I found, and James can tell you, a matter of fact, I was telling James just yesterday that I'm wanting to start my own ministry, probably leave my church 90% of the time, start my own ministry in a place called Midtown here in Memphis, Tennessee. Where we have it's like the synagogue of Satan down there. You can feel the bad vibe. There's a lot of good things going on down there if you like sin. You know, sin's fun for a season. But I'm talking about leaving my church and going down there, and there's open hostility to Christianity there. And James was talking about the Presbyterian Church. Me and my wife went to a wedding. It must have been back around, I don't know, February or March. And get this, it was a Presbyterian church, a beautiful church, built about 1880, 1890. In today's money, I bet you it would cost you $200 million to build that church. It looks like an old English castle. James knows where it is. It's an Idlewild Presbyterian Church on Union Avenue. Gigantic, huge. It's just absolutely gorgeous. Buckingham Palace has nothing on this place except maybe size. I went in there, and lo and behold, we had a lesbian minister marrying a good friend of mine. And, I got to know this girl because she's a running fanatic. She's, you know, fast as a gazelle. But I felt uncomfortable. The whole time I was in there, I felt uncomfortable. I kept getting bad vibes. But people, James said one thing. The church is attacking Christianity, which we're going to have to do. And we always talk about solutions here. I really don't have any one single answer except maybe to tell you this. To do what I've been trying to do, I've been trying to change my church as much as possible. Now, my church is not nearly as bad. So far, we're not pro-homosexual. Now, where I do disagree with my church is, like I was telling James the other day, the Catholic Church has got their Hail Marys. And I can tell you, I was in a Catholic church for 20 years. They have their Hail Marys. The Pentecost have their speaking in tongues. Well, I can flat out tell you right now, that's as bogus as a $2 bill, because I've been there. If they're speaking in tongues, those tongues aren't coming from heaven. And I'll refer you to, go to the Bible, go to the Pentecost. Okay, but kind of lost my train of thought there for a minute, but I'm coming back to the point. I disagree with the integration programs of the Baptist churches, all the churches in general. And we're going to do a segment on that later tonight, later in the show. But, you know, the church, some of the churches now in Memphis, they have these single meetup programs to get Christians together. And I can tell you flat out, and James can verify this. James knows all too well about it. It's what these programs are designed to mix black men with white women. That's what they do. And they actually boast about it. And they'll tell you, yes, that's why we are. That's why we're doing these things right here. But yeah, the church has been infiltrated by evil. If you can't change it, you may have to do what I'm going to do. You may have to start home churching. Let me pass this back over to James right now. He wants to chime in for a minute, people. I'm getting a little bit too long-winded here, I guess.
Well, it's all coming from the heart. It's all bubbling over, Pappy. The only reason I gave you the cue was because we're coming up on a break, and I want to wrap this up and set the table for the next hour, which is going to be a dynamic and dynamite hour. But again, folks, the thing to take away from all this, and I didn't intend to spend this much time on this subject, it just kind of evolved that way, as it does in live radio from time to time. But the Christian faith is as solid and as true today as it was 2,000 years ago. The way it's being presented in the churches obviously is not. And it's not to say that all churches are like this. You can still find good, small, solid churches out there. Unfortunately, the people sitting at the head table of a lot of these denominations are just completely corrupt, spiritually bankrupt to the core. And the long march through the institutions, we talk about that all the time. It wasn't just through the government or academia or media. It also marched through the seminaries, and it's beginning to manifest itself very clearly. Folks, you got one more segment to watch that video at thepoliticalcesspool.org that we took at Eddie's neighborhood yesterday. You'll find it at the top of our blog world, and we're going to be talking about it the entire third hour right after this.
Go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.